Welcome back to Philosophy of the Barber. It's been a few years. Some things have changed and kind of felt like a revival should occur. I've brought someone with me on this journey who is now a pseudo business partner of mine. Welcome, Cassie.
Hello.
All right, now, Cassie, because you've never been on this podcast before, you're going to have to do a little introduction the way everybody else has and basically tell me how you found yourself in this profession.
Oh, so actually, when I was in cosmetology school, thinking that I could find my art fix through color, I actually started going to a barber myself. And when I saw a skin fade being done for the first time, I realized that that's what I needed to learn. And finding barbering is where I got my creative art fix, as well as being able to work with people.
So, just for a quick bit of background, you went to school for both your cosmetology and your barber program through Empire Beauty Schools here in
correct.
New Hampshire?
Yes, correct. I did the Master Barber program. I started at the cosmetology program in Laconia and then went to their Hooksett campus for barbering.
And so how many years have you been in the industry now? Because I think you were in one of your programs during 2020?
Correct. Yep. So I'm coming into 3 years this year.
Okay. So between the two of us, we have quite an interesting background as far as the industry and how we got into it and what we've done since then. All right. We need to inform people who will eventually listen to this, like what our relationship is and like how we met.
Mm-hmm.
So you go ahead and do that.
So I actually had the pleasure of meeting Bree very early on in my introduction to this industry, and wasn't till later that we crossed paths again where I got to work with Bree at Polished. We have since branched off from Polished and Proper and are doing a co-suite where our businesses run together, but separately. Do you want to give a better explanation of our current setup?
Yeah, I figure we should probably do a quick recap on what's happened in the last 3 years. So let's see. In February of 2023, I let everybody at Polished and Proper know that I was no longer interested in owning a shop with multiple barbers. And the shop's lease was coming due June of 2023. So I wanted to give people plenty of heads up and be able to, you know, figure out whatever they needed to figure out for their individual stuff, because nobody wanted to buy it from me. And there was a bunch of stuff going on with the building, changing of hands. It was just a bunch of stuff that I really got tired of dealing with after 10 years. Some barbers went their separate ways, found new places to work, which is great. Lovely that we still get to see them. They're still local.
Yeah.
And after that conversation, a buyer for the shop came up. And then so I asked Cassie here to if she wanted to stay on with me, because I was planning on staying on there at the time to help mentor the new shop owner. And I mean, things rarely go as planned in life. So the situation at the shop as it was not one that I was willing to continue in. I do not work with just anyone well. Like, I am very pro-communication.
Mm-hmm.
And not everybody is. And that can kind of... there was other relationship situations happening in the shop at the time, and that kind of leads us into our topic today of women in the barbershop.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to discuss. And you and I have interesting backgrounds as far as being women in other people's shops.
Mm-hmm.
Being a shop owner as a woman with multiple people various age groups and backgrounds working alongside me over the years. So I'm curious, what has your experience been at the couple of shops you worked at before starting your own? And how has that kind of shaped how you deal with people, whether it's coworkers or customers?
I will say I started off in a fairly like busy shop. Like we had, there was at least 8 barbers working there, and most of us were women. And so it certainly wasn't what I was expecting coming straight out of barber school, because I was under the impression it was such a male dominant career field. And then to end up in a shop predominantly women, I was a little surprised. And
a little more on the salon end.
Yeah. And with that came the unfortunate women baggage and drama and gossip, and there was clicks even in between the shot, and I couldn't do it. I so much tried to play just like the middleman, mentor, mediator, where I could just kind of be neutral with everybody.
I don't think women in groups allow that position to be held, though.
No, it's so hard. It's so hard.
They're like, no, you have to pick a side.
Yeah, you do. You have to pick, be on one side or the other. And so when I moved from that shop to Polished, luckily it was a little bit more evened out there. But I've noticed that I do...
Okay. For the record, we do have to clarify when you say Polished.
Yes.
Because you have... the polished man.
Oh, yes.
And you have polished,
yes.
And proper.
Very fair. Yes. When I gravitated from the man to the proper. There was a lot more evening out of energies, so to speak. And now running this place with just you as like a co-suite kind of scenario, I feel like I'm going to do very well in. I've noticed that shrinking it down and going from such grandiose big productions of services to just being able to have that intimate, like more personal experience with my client has been really beneficial so far.
Well, I also think it's a really great way to work on communication with women. Is like communicating with anybody one-on-one. Yes. Is so much my ideal. Because I like giving people my undivided attention. So
yeah.
Like with me and you, when we communicate, like we're very upfront with one another. We can be blunt without taking offense. We can give each other compassion and understanding with our individual situations. But it's much harder to exercise those muscles when you have a group of people that need that.
Yes.
Especially because it's so easy to lump people in groups and start to vilify them. And so they're no longer a full human being. Mm-hmm. They're like an archetype in your head where oh, I can demonize you a lot easier this way because I'm not connecting with you as an individual.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's great as far as like, because I mean, whether you're working in a multi-chair shop or in a private suite, you still have to learn that one-on-one connection because of our industry. Mm. Like, we're dealing with one customer at a time.
Yep.
All right. For clarification of terms for listeners, I use the term customer and client interchangeably. There is no difference in my eyes. It is comparable to sneakers and tennis shoes.
Yes.
I'm from Ohio. This is what happens.
This is the same thing.
So, no offense to anybody who prefers the good people to be clients and the bad people to be customers. They're all the same to me.
Is that a thing?
Yes, for some people that is a thing.
Ah, interesting.
But just so we clarify...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean nothing
no.
derogatory when I use no. that term.
So what was it, seeing as you've been in the industry, obviously, much longer than me, how was it for you starting out being a woman in this industry?
It was not as prevalent to have women in shops. Like, a lot of people have crossed over from cosmetology into barbering over the last decade or so in New Hampshire. And that's noticeable. And I think that's great. Like, the more the merrier. I have experienced my share of negative experiences, whether it be with barbers or customers. One of my favorite stories of, like, females don't belong in the barbershop is when I was... I'd finished my Barber 1 program and was still doing my Master Barber. And one of my classmates had already done his Barber 1 and was working at a shop while finishing his Master Barber. Mm-hmm. And the shop owner, who is no longer in the industry, he doesn't own a shop anymore, like, he's on to other things. But he was a prior service, former Marine, had a very singular mindset as far as, like, what he envisioned a shop to be. Mm-hmm. And his aesthetic was very, like, his family's military, fire, police service, like, yep. very first responder and service-related mm-hmm. industries. So that was his whole thing. And when I first met him, it was very much like, I'll never have a female working in the shop.
Yeah.
But my friend was living in another state, so he was only working there kind of to help out a buddy while continuing school. Mm-hmm. So he, like, needed another barber for a busy Saturday, and I'd just go there and hang out because to be, you know, along with my friend and, like, watch people cut and, you know, things you do in school to avoid an unhappy home life. one day I was like, you want me to come in? He's like, really? You serious? Yeah. Like, I've just been coming to hang out here because.
Yeah, I'm already going to be there.
I have tools.
I linger anyways.
I literally went to the same place you were trained, so I get it.
Yeah.
And so he gave me a shot, and then I worked there for 9-10 months.
Really?
And then, like, through school in my various programs. And then when I went to open my own shop, I left there. And by that point, his mindset had totally shifted and went, I would not want to be in a shop without a female at this point. So that was always, like, a nice little...
Yeah. I appreciate the mental shift for him.
Yeah. Well, and he had other, you know, he had life things going on, and there was lots of transitions, as there are with people opening businesses and people going through various stages of life. So to be able to be someone who was dependable and there at the shop, all, you know, whenever I needed to be, it was, I could be stable when his life was not stable. Like, he was going through fluctuations and difficulties, and the one thing I made it where he didn't have to worry about was somebody being at the shop.
Yeah.
So I could offer that to him. And that always makes you feel good. A little pat on the back.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Just a little constant in your life.
Yeah. And if you happen to be at a spot where you can give that to somebody, that is a barber you want.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that's one of the things I found with when I first opened my shop was, like, literally 3 days after I opened the shop, I had to go back to Ohio because my grandmother died.
Oh.
I was like, well, we're open. It's a good thing there's more than one person working here.
Yeah.
So, like, Tyler, who worked almost the entirety of, you know, the life of Polished and Proper, he was there and he worked. And I was like, thank you.
Yep.
I have to go to a funeral. I'll see you when I get back. But as far as customers go, have you ever dealt with any sort of difficulty or issues or discomfort as far as a customer sitting in your chair because you're female?
I've been lucky enough that a lot of the men that I've dealt with have not crossed that line. They've been pretty respectful of the client-barber relationship. I did have a gentleman at the beginning of my barber career who, more so his gaze, it wasn't necessarily things that he said, but I see you. I can see your eyes. I'm looking at your haircut in the mirror. Like, I can see your whole face. And it's like they forget and their eyes just gravitate to other places on your body. And I'm like, I'm watching you. Like, I'm watching you. Look at me. Look away, sir. And so more so just little stuff like that. But luckily, they've been very respectful. Even when I had one gentleman send me a lovely gift. Even after facing said rejection, so to speak, he's still very nice in the chair, and it's not something I've ever had to really worry about.
On a side note, referencing this fella, note to anyone who happens to listen to this, large romantic gestures in real life do not translate the same way they do on the silver screen.
Yes, correct.
Being anonymous is not romantic. It's scary.
It's creepy. So, sign to sign things. Take credit for the big grandiose gestures that you're doing. Take credit for them and sign your name.
Yes. Because especially when things come from customers, we have a mental list of people.
Yeah.
And we're like, if we don't know who it is, we have a list of people going, it could be this person. Like, there are worst case scenarios in our head.
Yes.
That are happening.
Oh, just, yeah.
Spare us. Please.
Spare us the imagination. Just let us know.
Because we immediately go to the worst case scenario.
Worst case. And then you never stood a chance.
Yep.
Never stood a chance.
I've experienced, like, somebody back when walk-ins were the norm.
Thing, yeah.
Someone, you know, turned down the offer of sitting in my chair because he doesn't sit in females' chairs. Which is fair. I mean, everybody has their preferences.
Mm-hmm.
And especially in a walk-in situation where it's like, there's several barbers.
Yep.
If you don't want to sit in a particular person's chair, that's totally your prerogative.
Waiting, then.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't think those people should be, chastised for that. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, it'd be like me being chastised because I'm uncomfortable getting, you know, if I'm uncomfortable getting a massage from a man.
Mm-hmm.
I go, I have my personal preferences.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And they should be respected like mm-hmm. anything else.
Agreed.
And it may not be a knock on whether or not they think that you're able, you know, whether or not it's about, most likely never about you.
No. The reality is that he could just be uncomfortable talking to women.
Mm-hmm.
He could just not know what to converse with a woman on. It could be numerous things.
Yep.
Numerous things. Whereas I had the exact opposite response from a gentleman one time who preferred getting his hair cut from women because he gets his hair cut, he gets shampooed, and he likes to be able to close his eyes and relax, and he doesn't feel like he can do that if a man is towering over him and that's the experience that he's having.
Well, especially because there's very different dynamics mm-hmm. between men and women.
Yes.
Like, women are far naturally gifted with nurturing qualities.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that there isn't like the masculine, feminine in everybody.
Yeah.
But like, we're just biologically
it's in our DNA.
Yeah. We're designed to make people feel comfortable. Most especially making men feel mm-hmm. comfortable. Because when men are comfortable in our presence, we feel safe.
Yes. Done. It's a win-win.
Yeah. So it's understandable that if, like, because male dynamics being what they are, the pecking order constantly mm-hmm. being established in a yep. room that they enter, I can understand not always being able to let down your guard in that sort of a situation.
Yeah.
Like, it's one thing to get your hair cut and, you know, shoot the breeze and, like, talk sports and politics or whatever you want to talk about. And that's, like, that's a social situation. That's an equal give and take. And, you know, a service is being done at the same time.
Yes.
But the personal one-on-one connection, I can't say as I've come across a ton of male barbers who can achieve that level of connection without years with a client.
Yes.
Like, I don't think that's going to happen in 2, 3, 4 haircuts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whereas I think we as women, more often than not, could establish a more personal rapport with people faster.
I feel like I can agree with that. Because as soon as you said that, I was thinking back to some of the men that I've worked with and their client relationships and who they've been most bonded to. And it really was like my old boss, like he has been cutting these people's hair for literally his entire career. Like they've walked through the whole thing with him, and those are the only people that he's like that clicked with.
Yeah. The engagement.
Yeah.
The enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm. You see a completely different shift.
Especially when there's like multi-generational customers, like
yeah.
Father brings in his son for the first haircut, and then like you're cutting this kid's hair all the way through high school mm-hmm. and graduations, like prom, college. You get to give them the wedding haircut, and then it's like, oh, they get to bring their kid, mm-hmm. and like that whole legacy of a barber being able to go multiple generations that's a major connection.
Goals.
Yeah. And that's where it's like, all right, you're comfortable enough with this family to go to their funeral when the oldest one passes.
Yeah.
Like, that's a level of dedication and relationship that everyone should aim for.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what my goals are with my clientele. I like that really strong bond. Like, I want to know your pets' names and your kids' names and what they're doing for sports and all the fun stuff.
Go to the musicals that the kids are in.
Yeah, go to the musicals. Oh, that was great.
So, what were some of the highlights of working with other females in a shop setting where there's like a mixture? Were there like highlights that you kind of miss, or, you know, things that you're like, I never want to repeat that ever again?
I do appreciate having a woman around, because then they can automatically it's easier for them to understand where you're at. You can, usually when you have another woman who's like open to communication and responsive, you guys can at least get on the same level playing field, and it's easy to have someone to be able to just kind of be with you in the same place at the same time and relate to what's happening in each situation. Whereas it's more so on like a mental health basis.
Well, and
like being able to be understood that way.
Well, yeah, our female to female communication is very unique to us as a sex.
Mm-hmm.
Where like, you know, the old shop, you know, you come in the back door and I'd say good morning, and just with that interaction, it doesn't matter what you said, I would know where you were mentally.
Yes.
In the morning.
Yes.
That's your tone, your facial expression, the eye contact. Mm-hmm. All of that is telling me how you really are. Mm-hmm. Whether you're just like, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
Morning.
Yeah.
And so that helps set me up for the day, checking up on all my barbers going, all right, especially because some people are like not morning people. Some people come in and just like the commute was not for them today. Or they haven't had their breakfast. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, they need that extra 20 minutes. The guy hasn't taken his morning dookie. Whatever.
Yeah, like, whatever.
All of these things that we had to deal with. That affect people's moods.
Yeah.
But, like, when you're going to be working together every day and seeing these people more often than you see your family mm-hmm. sometimes, you know, you got to like, check in. Be like, all right. Are they going to be in a iffy mood? Mm-hmm. Am I going to have to play defense and, like, if somebody walks in, let's not have that person greet them?
Yeah.
Because that's not going to be the best.
Yep.
And, you know, play interference.
Mm-hmm. I definitely wouldn't put myself in another situation where there is multiple varieties of women, though.
Yeah.
I love them, love you ladies, love myself, but I just, when there's more than three or more things kind of can get a little sticky.
I know you love threes.
Yes.
I can't with threes.
Yeah.
That just means somebody is out.
There's There's an oddball.
But it never works.
Yeah. Only because I did... as much as I tried to be middleman in previous situations, it is so hard to be neutral. And I didn't like feeling like I was in high school again.
Right.
And I'm just, I can't.
Well, because the likelihood in any sort of relationship situation, in my opinion, whether it's platonic or otherwise, unless all three have agreed upon terms and are focused on a single goal, mm-hmm. and so are totally dedicated to that goal. Like, I mean, there are people who run fantastic salons and shops that have 20 plus chairs, mm-hmm. and they're all women.
Yeah.
And they're great, warm, wholesome, lovely environments that they've created, and there's leadership there, there's communication there, there's mm-hmm. everything that needs to happen there. Yeah. Because everybody is focused and dedicated to a particular goal, and also exercising compassion and understanding for each person's individual situation, mm-hmm. because we are all different.
Yes.
But if someone's not, it is evident very quickly.
Mm.
And I think the problem, especially with threes, is that, you know, as opposed to 20, you got 20 and you got one or two people, well, you got, you know, 18, 19 going, you're the problem.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like the whole, like, well, the numbers don't lie.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, when you got three, it's the, oh, you guys are just teaming up against me, you're bullying me kind of a thing.
Yeah, that is very fair. Very fair.
I'm kind of curious, because I don't have all the answers, what things could be implemented to, like, possibly be able to solve that issue? Or sometimes, I don't know, when it comes to human nature, sometimes you're just at an impasse and it's like, hey, if you're not willing, then it's not going to happen. Like, lead a horse to water sort of a thing. It's like, I can't change other people's behavior. I can only affect my own.
Yep.
And I can only do so much before I'm starting to not respect my own boundaries.
Mm.
And that's not okay. So it's like, all right, well, if I gotta leave a situation, because that's, I can't control other people.
Yep.
The only thing in my control is my presence here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we got to our suites.
Yes. How we landed here.
And I love it here.
It's great here.
The beautiful thing about this new revival of a podcast is that we have much more comfortable seating than the original version, because the old one was in a basement.
Oh, yeah. What did you even sit on down there? Was there chairs?
Oh, we had rolly chairs. Oh. Like computer chairs.
Yeah. I do recall those.
They
now.
Had good lumbar support. But me in a swivel chair...
That you would not have gotten me to sit still.
Same, yeah.
I would have just been spitting. You would have heard me round and round by the mic, just getting louder and softer, spinning in the chair.
I'm the swish back and forth and keep my head pointed towards the mic person.
Oh, yes. Were you really practicing on that core workout?
Get those neck knots ready for my massage therapist, for sure.
Is he just going to beat you up again?
tomorrow. So the one thing we haven't touched on as far as women in the barbershop goes is women clients.
Hmm.
What's been your experience with having female clients in the chair? Because pros and cons. But, I mean, for the most part, me personally, I don't mind. I cut hair. Like...
Yeah.
It's human.
I cut hair. I will say that I feel like women that come and get their hair cut at a barbershop are kind of just a different breed of women. I feel like they're not this, and I mean this in the nicest way, but like the stereotypical more... Prissy's a terrible word.
No, we'll say higher maintenance.
Yeah.
Like, they get the highlights, they get layers.
I feel like they're a lot more laid back. So it's not... I feel neutral about taking... I love being able to cut short haircuts on women and do that sort of thing, but I'll cut any hair.
I will say, I sometimes feel like a little proud if, because I kind of view some women as harder to please, more particular, which I don't mind. I like a challenge. But it definitely gives me a good feeling if I can wow or surprise them.
Yes.
And they're oh my gosh, that looks amazing. Mm-hmm. I was like, yes.
I will say, since some men's cuts are obviously basically short women's cuts. Like, they're very versed haircuts, obviously. But I will say that I'm the most proud when I do a more feminine, wispier kind of style haircut on a woman. Mm. And they are proud of it, and they like it, and they like the way it styles. I'm just like, thank God. Yes, I've done it. I've successfully pleased this woman in my chair. Now I can wait again for 6 weeks until she's back.
Well, and I find long haircuts. Because, I got plenty of guys that will come in and have long hair. Long haircuts are, I'd say, very simple for me at this point. There's not a lot of precision to them, nearly as much as the short haircuts.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fun for my female clientele because they're more apt to change things up than most of the men.
Mm.
Like, with the exception of, like, adjustments of, like, preference.
Yeah.
Like, once a guy finds a haircut that he's really confident in, he does not depart.
That's it. He's in there.
He is committed. Whereas women get bored. We, you know, our sense of self is constantly changing.
Yeah.
So, you know, we want to view ourselves differently. Our confidence level, our energies can be affected on how we want to be viewed. So if, you know, somebody's, like, going to do a big chop, and that's, like, a big deal. And they're, you know, a little on the self-conscious side. They're a little unsure. I don't know how it's going to look because they don't know what their head looks like yet. And being able to transform that into something that is more reassuring to them. Like, it still instills confidence. It's not too much of a crazy, harsh departure.
Yeah.
Like a guy suddenly popping a full, you know, bristly mustache. Where it's like, if you're not committed to that, no one else is going to be.
Yeah.
So it allows for a good transition.
Mm.
Or conversely, for somebody who's had, like, a really short cut for a long time and they want to grow it out. But man, you reach that awkward stage and you just can't. Being able to offer them a middle ground to not lose that progress in where it matters to them, but still being able to, like, scratch that itch of, like, please get it off my ears.
Yeah.
It's one of the nice things about our profession of being like, we can offer professional advice and creative maintenance.
Mm-hmm. To meet a middle ground and, like, get you there.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like we do the same thing with spouses. Like, a guy comes in, it's like, wife likes it this way, guy likes it this way. Compromise.
Yes.
Yeah.
I had a gentleman the other day tell me, when we were talking about the length for the top, and he was like, I like 1.5. She likes one, or vice versa. He's like, I like one. She likes 1.5. He's like, I'll let you decide. I was like, I'm making the wife happy today. Sorry, bud.
And that makes it last a little longer.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's a whole nother topic for another day of, like, business practices. Should you make a haircut last as long as possible, or do you want them to come back in 3 weeks?
The choice is yours.
We will talk about that in depth another day.
Perfect.
Well, I think we've covered about what we can, as far as I can think of when it comes to women in barbershops. Can you think of anything else?
Mm-mm. No, the only thing I can think of, we can tangent into with kids' cuts.
Well, that's the one thing I was like, oh, right, moms in the barbershop, you get far more kids in your chair than I probably ever will. How was your experience with moms?
Luckily, I've been very limited on my helicopter moms. A lot of them, after the first one, they sit down. They're like, all right, I've seen you do it one time. You're good. He's happy. Cool. They don't have to bother me again. I will say it, the moms that want the haircut so bad that they're willing to let their kids be so uncomfortable just to get the haircut. I'm just like, why? It's not that important. It's not that serious. There was a little boy once that needed to, the mom's like, can I just hold him down? This is when I was still in school. Because he was crying. He was terrified. He was like two, terrified. And she's like, can I just hold him? And we're like, no, we will not fuel this trauma. And we're not going to make him scared of haircuts. He can wait. He's fine. He just had a little bit over his ears. He's fine.
I've dealt with both of those types of situations. The strap down and this is happening.
Yeah.
Or the... I, as the barber, do not feel like this child or my safety is able to be maintained, mm-hmm. so I'm going to refuse service because I'm not going to put them at risk.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not normally one to be, like, even in school, I was not super hesitant or concerned with, like, screwing up somebody's haircut.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Just because I come from straight from military where it's, like, life or death versus it'll grow back.
Yeah.
No contest. But... I never, ever want to feel the guilt of having hurt physically a child.
Agreed.
No, thank you.
No.
Like, if those arms start flailing, nope.
Mm-mm. I have sharp objects.
Yeah.
Yes, I use them safely, but I have sharp objects still. No thrashing about.
Yeah. That's why I always suggest anybody who's, like, having a kid is, like, put loud noises next to their head. Play with their ears. Like, treat them like a puppy that you're, like, play with their paws.
Yeah.
So they'll get used to people handling them. Yeah.
Barbertize them.
Have you noticed whether or not there's been a difference from a environment standpoint as far as like helicopters moms go? Because from the old shop where there's like five chairs in the main area, which, I mean, it's a big space. Mm. I feel like that may have been more inviting for helicopter moms.
Yes.
Because it's such a huge space, mm-hmm. and they feel very disconnected,
yes.
from the kid, versus here, where it's like you got a one chair suite and that's the whole space and that's it. They don't have to worry about distractions or being separated physically from their child.
Yeah, there's nothing's gonna get in between them and being able to for them to have access to their child.
Yes.
And so they're able to just sit down, relax, and just not even have to worry about it. Which I do appreciate mom sometimes, because sometimes if the kid's not chatty, I at least have mom to talk to.
Yep.
And I can converse with somebody instead of just doing a very quiet haircut, because sometimes I can't handle that.
Sometimes quiet haircuts get to be quick haircuts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm amazed at how efficient I am when,
I
don't talk.
Quiet? Oh, it is impressive. It is impressive. It is also impressive how long I can draw a haircut out, depending on who I'm chatting with.
Oh, yes.
There are certain clients that I just ask them nicely to book themselves at the last slot of my day. So that way I don't have to run late on anybody else. It's just not fair.
Yes.
Because I know what's going to happen once you get in my chair. We've got lots to talk about. I haven't seen you in 6 weeks. We've got lots to talk about.
And I want to give you your attention and I want to know.
Yeah. And sometimes things are too important. You have to shut the clippers off.
And that's where we get into our real job. Therapy. Well, on that note, I think it is a good time to conclude. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure.
For future reference, Cassie is probably going to be a repeat of my default conversationalist.
Yep.
We will have other guests on, maybe some previous guests for a world update on where they are today. But we'll wait and see, and hopefully we can keep this weekly situation going. I'm excited because I don't have to track barbers down, and you know, the most successful barbers are like the ones you really want to talk to because you're like, how did you get where you are?
Yeah.
But they're also really hard to schedule with. But all right, guys, have a wonderful night. We will see you next week.
See ya.